You're listening to The Dollop. This is a bi-weekly American history podcast. Now, each week, I, Dave Anthony, read a story from American history to my friend,
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's how the intro goes.
Do we do more?
No, that's it.
Ow.
No, yep, now you hit your hand.
I hit my hand.
Just start the music.
I don't have a face.
Start the music.
No, we do this. And called it, quote, his jam pad.
Jam pad?
I'm the fucking hippo guy!
Dave, okay.
My name's Gary.
My name's Gary.
Wait, is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the Tickling Podcast.
Okay.
This is like anarchy!
On a five-part coefficient.
Five rounds of play!
Now hit him with the puppy.
You both present sick arguments.
No sleep till hippo!
No sleep till hippo!
Action, part.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No. No.
Rhoda! Rhoda in the court!
We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So it start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, they're out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings. So you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your personal, all that stuff. I wish I had had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop.
January 7th, 1855!
Jesus, real weird. God, I don't think you do well with cameras filming because you do this visual stuff, which is just terrible.
That's what I look like when I'm sexing.
Oh, my God. What just happened? Rewind.
Charlie Siringo.
Siringo?
Siringo.
Like if a drummer gets knighted.
S-I-R-I-N-G-O.
Siringo.
Yeah, like that.
But I'll deserve this.
Formal.
Great.
He was born in Matagorda, sure. County, Texas. Someone's going to be like, it's Matagorda.
Yeah.
It's on a strip of land on the Texas Gulf Coast. So it's like a, well, I'll show you.
It's Dave, too.
It's like a little sort of, they call it a peninsula.
Oh, my God.
But it's not a, I don't think it's a peninsula. Is it not there? There it is. How about that? So it's like a... it's a little strip of land. So he's born on that bad boy. It looks like a Barry Ireland, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what a fucking Barry Ireland is, do you?
Yeah, I do.
God damn it.
Yeah, I do.
How do you not know what a Barry Island is?
I know exactly what a Barry Island is.
What is it?
It's an island that serves as a barrier.
For what?
For ships.
No, not for fucking ships.
Whales? I don't know. I got halfway there.
His mother was an Irish immigrant. His dad was an Italian immigrant.
Ooh, that's easy.
Yeah, and his dad died when he was one.
Sure.
So we never got to do that accent.
Yeah, but we also would never laugh about a child in this situation because it's offensive.
No. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Could you imagine laughing about a child from the 1880s whose father died when he was one, like 50s, every single still, person on the dollop? Charlie started going to school when he was four.
Okay. Normal. That's fine.
That is very not normal for that time.
Oh.
The Civil War kicked off when he was six, and then his teacher left to join the war. And
that's so, the best news ever.
That he didn't go to school anymore.
School's
after that.
Out. Yeah, you're like, boom!
School's out
for war!
Doesn't sound like they were rich because Charlie wore, quote, a long white shirt made of a flour sack after some of the big bugs had eaten the flour out.
Alrighty.
They have that at the Gap.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's a matter of time. Okay, so he's just kind of in a bug-eaten sack?
He's in a, he's in a sack.
Shirt?
It's been...
A sack shirt?
Devoured. There's no more flour in it. He's just got a sweet, sweet sack on.
Cool. That's cool.
How's yours?
Keep going, please.
His aunt and uncle eventually sent clothes, so that was nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, so then he had clothes. He hung out with his best friend, Billy. Quote, our three favorite pastimes were riding the milk calves, coon hunting, and sailing playboats on the bayshore.
Okay, playboats.
So pretty normal childhood.
Playboats are just little boats?
Shooting raccoons, riding milk cows.
Yeah,
normal stuff. He'd watch and imitate local cowboys, sometimes roping wild steer. So he started, picking it up a little bit as he got older. During the war, the Siringo family diet consisted almost exclusively of fish, oysters, cornbread, and sweet potatoes.
Oh, my God.
And diarrhea.
I mean,
Yeah. They made their coffee from parched corn and sweet potatoes.
Oh, my God.
Which I like to call not coffee.
Cornfee. We have cornfee here.
Could I get some more potatoes in my coffee?
No, we got to eat the potatoes later because we have oysters and fish.
What about parched corn? Can I get some more corn in my coffee?
Oh, you can have a little more corn.
Boy, this is a real pick-me-up.
Hey, are you up yet?
No, I'm still tired.
Feel that corn pulsing through you?
Oh,
that corn
feel
juice?
The corn in my veins. Oh, man, I had too much corn. There's fighting all. They were in the area they were in. There was fighting all around them, and dead men would just wash up ashore on the beach.
The smell of this family must
be
bad.
Which is fun. I don't know if you've ever experienced
men
that.
Men are just floating up on the beach?
Just dead soldiers would just cruise up.
That's cool.
Just died dead in the water. Floaters, they call them.
Great. Cool.
The float place.
Right.
Charlie was invited to live on a ranch to learn how to run cattle.
Okay.
This was his dream, and he now considered himself a, quote, full-fledged cowboy. So this is his dream.
So he's self-realized that
he's living
a
his dream.
Right.
He's a young boy. He's living his dream.
Right.
But after 2 months on the ranch, Charlie contracted typhoid fever and had to go home.
Just like a cowboy. It's like the real thing.
And we're out. His mother remarried a man named Carrier.
Hello, Mr. I Carrier. Hold things.
Hello, I'm the holder of things. He said he had a farm and lots of property in Michigan, so they should go there. He convinced Charlie's mom to sell her house, 60 head of cattle, and the 175 acres of land they owned. She didn't make much, or you couldn't get much money for stuff then because the war's on and everything.
Sure.
So she didn't get a lot of money for it. And then they headed north. Charlie cried. He was very sad to leave his homestead, as you would be, I think.
No.
Aaron, have you ever left your home when you were a boy?
Yeah. So this must be really hitting hard for you, Aaron.
Just trying to bring you in, buddy. He's going to miss his cow Brownie.
Who, Aaron is?
No,
Charlie. Okay.
He was going to miss his, because I was...
Brownie?
Brownie had been around forever.
Yeah.
The family took a boat to St. Louis, up the river, as they say. On the boat, there was a bar, a place to drink.
Sure.
So Charlie's new stepdad, quote, put in his spare time drinking whiskey and gambling.
Nice.
And soon had squandered every cent received for the homestead and the cattle.
No.
So... I mean, the money had a good run.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So they get to St. Louis. They move into an old rundown building.
So that's not what they were initially
expecting. This wasn't the plan.
They were going to go to Michigan.
Yeah. He's where he said he
had
land.
But then he got them so broke that he's like, we'll just live in this building in St. Louis.
What about here?
Huh?
What about this place that has no roof?
How much do you think we could get for Brownie?
So they left Brownie. I guess a sore subject. So they get to St. Louis. His stepdad.
This isn't so bad, huh, guys?
Stepdad finds a job shoveling coal for a dollar a day.
Hey, I found a job that's great for me.
Oh, goodness, looking up. First, he would bring home a dollar every night. Each night, come home with a brand new buck. Oh, then it became 50 cents.
So they're docking my pay.
And then it was a quarter.
Hey, I got nothing.
And then he would come home just shit-faced with a nickel.
Well, I did nothing but drink again. That is the day.
Isn't it?
Did you guys know that you can eat coal?
Oh, so good.
Have some coffee.
Finally, one night, he just didn't come home.
Hey. Bye.
Neighbors fed the family. The neighbors helped
out. He didn't come home for ages.
No, he was gone.
He was done.
He was done.
Okay, interesting. That's a fun, sure.
So Charlie then earned money shoveling snow and sawing wood around where he could.
Okay.
And then one day a letter came from their stepfather with $10 inside.
Okay. From the guy who bounced?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's showing that he's got his shit together.
Right.
Right. Mm. He found a new job chopping wood. And he asked his wife to bring the stepkids and join him in Lebanon, Illinois.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. And she did. She was like, okay, well, he's
reformed.
He's got it together to get money in
an
envelope.
He's better.
Yeah.
He put $10 in some paper.
Right. So he's
good again.
Yeah. So things went well.
Uh-huh.
For a while.
Uh-huh.
And then Charlie's stepfather started spending less time working and more time drinking.
Okay. So he's, right.
He's an alcoholic is what
sure.
they call that.
Right. And he's relapsing.
Yeah.
Right.
So soon Charlie had to take over the wood chopping job. So dad's drinking, stepdad's drinking, and Charlie's doing the work.
Sure.
Making $8 a month to keep the family alive.
Jesus.
Quote, I was working out in the cold without gloves and only half clothed.
Oh,
so I assume he was topless working.
Well, it's time to get that flour bag.
I mean, if we're talking half clothed, I hope it's the top.
I hope it's the bottom that's naked. I always prefer that look. It's a fun look.
His stepdad started becoming
business
mean.
Casual.
Stepdad started becoming mean.
Uh-huh.
So mean and worthless, the neighbors ran him out of the county.
Okay.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Quote, a crowd surrounded the house one night, took him out, and preached him a sermon. Then they gave him until morning to either skip or be hung. He didn't wait till morning.
Yeah,
he was out.
Okay, yeah. Well, good run. Good dude.
No, he had a good...
You know you're good if the entire town's like, go.
Yeah, the whole town's like, we're going
to... Go or we're going to kill you.
So here's our deal. We're going to kill you or you leave because you're awful. You're a terrible person. Also, here's a sermon.
Oh.
Christ is good. Let's do Christ stuff. Christ.
This is really great.
Christ, were you raised religious, Aaron? No. Okay, so that I can't get an affirmative on whether or not I nailed.
No, that
nailed
was really
sermon.
Good.
It seemed like a sermon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus comes down from the hills again. Jesus is down from the hills again. He is God. He is great. Jesus came down from the hill, he's late.
Bicycle hat.
No, don't.
I'm doing like a different.
What is your deal?
Electronica.
Electronica? Cool. So what, you just know music from Sirius XM stations? I believe it to be electronica.
So Charlie's now 13 years old.
Okay.
His mother and sister leave. They go to find work in St. Louis, and they
sure.
leave him behind because
okay.
he's 13. He can handle it.
No, for sure. He's 13.
All right. So he comes down with malaria.
Cool. That's fun adolescent disease.
A lot of adolescents get that. But you can take pills for that now.
Sure. That now.
Yeah. So he only had 90 cents because his boss, after his stepdad left, he's like, well, your stepdad owed $35 and that's how much you had. So,
that's cool.
So Charlie then took off. He's like, well, I'm going to go to St. Louis and find my mom.
Okay.
Which is easy to do. St. Louis is just a big city. And all you have to do is just go there.
You're 13. You have 90 cents. Go to St. Louis. You'll figure it out.
How are you not going
to
find your mom?
You'll figure it out.
Just walk into St. Louis.
What are you worried about?
Yeah.
You got 90 cents, Dave. I think you're going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah. You got this. Did you just burp?
Yep.
It's cool. It's good. It's professional. They teach that in radio school. So when he arrived, he had no...
They teach naming classes wherever you went to school?
Yeah. When he arrived here, he basically had no money, so he sold his Bible for 25 cents to buy food.
Oh, my God. Right away, do that. What? Why do you have that?
Yeah, at that point, that thing
I mean, that's the equivalent of going to a Coinstar.
Yeah, for sure.
That's immediate.
Yeah.
First thing you do.
That was the original Coinstar. You'd put your Bible in and then...
Here's a quarter.
Quarter would come out.
Oh, nice.
He got a job as a bellboy, and he worked for a whole year, but then he got into a fight with another bellboy, and he left.
Hmm.
And then he decided to go to New Orleans, so he stowed away on a ship. Got caught, had to work his way the whole way there. And okay. he got injured because he was loading grain and it fell on him.
Sure.
He's having a good run.
Yeah.
So there he's broke and he's in New Orleans now, a little bit hurt. And then some weirdo just walks up to him on the street.
Hey. How you doing, boy? I'm going to picture a Lou Pearlman, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Quote, well-dressed old man, about 50 years of age, with an umbrella over his head.
Hello.
Hello, it's not raining.
I predict rain.
I'm a freak. He made Charlie an offer to help his wife around in the house for $4 a month. And after 4 months, he said he would then buy Charlie's passage to Texas. So he'd buy him his passage back home.
Okay. Passage meaning trip.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So Charlie's like, all right, I'll help your old lady around for 4 months.
Sure. Weird guy who thinks it's raining.
Yeah. So Mr. and Mrs. Myers had a very big home and no kids.
This is shady.
What?
This is just shady.
Don't you? If you don't have kids, you go when you find one on the street with your umbrella.
This is how you like get a bot. This is just how you get like a body.
They treated Charlie like a son.
Mm.
They enrolled him in public school.
Okay.
But then Charlie got into a fight and he ran away.
Okay.
He got in a fight at school and he just, instead of going home, he ran. He ran. Well, so then they put him into a private school. And,
that's how, yeah.
And then he got into a fight with a bully.
Sure.
And he stabbed him in the leg.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So and then the bully got up to run, and Charlie chased him.
Okay.
And then he stabbed him in the back.
Okay. So just, all right. So do we have all the stabbings?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
Classic 13.
So he's got a leg stabbing followed by the back stabbing.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay. Uh-huh. Cool. So what's next? Boarding school or where do we...
Well, Charlie thought he had killed him, so he jumped on a ship that was going to St. Louis and stowed away.
Okay, so not a big details guy.
So he got the fuck out of there is what he did.
Okay.
Yeah. So
is
again...
Is that the end of that?
Again, yeah, that was the end of that story.
These people just put him in two schools until he almost killed a guy thought he killed a guy basically. And then he stowed away again?
Yeah, I mean, it's why you don't take in street urchins.
Sure.
So he still couldn't find his mom in St. Louis.
I think he dodged a bullet with that couple.
Yeah. The
weird umbrella
thing.
Was definitely going to do something weird.
Yeah.
He's got a real get out
He
vibe.
Was going to end up bacon or something.
For sure.
Yeah, hanging in the basement or whatever.
Yeah.
Just cured meat.
No, or maybe just some sort of like, you know, knotted to the wall sex slave for his wife.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore, Charlie, but I'm going to watch you and tell you what to do. Give it to the missus.
Look at you hitting puberty.
Or you'll be bacon.
Okay, so he's in St. Louis. He looks for his mom. He can't find his mom. And then he goes back to the weird couple in St. Louis.
Oh, no.
He's like,
what do you guys do?
What do you got? Well, because they were feeding him and taking care of him.
Yeah,
so he's like,
they're fattening him up like Hansel and Gretel.
They got him back into the private school. The private school took him back.
What? On what grounds?
After the stabbing.
Did they remove his hands?
No, they were like, oh, he was probably like, I won't stab anybody anymore.
No, but he did do it twice on one guy.
I know, but maybe he deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
I got away with two stabbings. I mean, it's...
So did he.
It's... You're just a young teen. Like, it's just, you know, a crazy time.
Oh, my voice is changing and I'm stabbing more. Boy, my body's going through a whole bunch of different changes.
There's hair on my balls and I'm stabbing people.
Well, a couple things have happened. I'm getting nocturnal emissions and I crave the taste of brain.
Jesus.
Sorry, I'm one of these adolescents you read about.
One day there was a fire near the school and Charlie was like, can I go look at the fire? And the teacher was like, no. And he's like, well, I'm going to look at the fire. And then...
You know how you combat that?
Yeah,
armed teachers with fire.
Yeah. And then he got there and he was like, oh shit, I've fucked up. I shouldn't go back to school.
What?
So he hopped on a steamship headed for Texas.
Good God, what is going on? Is he, I mean, he's like Forrest Gumping
it. He's not great at facing problems.
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now.
He's a cut and runner.
He's also a kid. He's 15 or 16 now.
Yeah.
So he goes to Texas. He gets a job working as a cowboy at one of the biggest ranches in Texas.
Okay.
Right. So he's living the dream. He's back to living the dream.
Sure.
He traveled, the West driving Longhorn cattle, Brandon unclaimed cattle. Other cowboys nicknamed him Dull Knife. Cause he had a knife that he would use to kill rattlesnakes all the time. He'd throw it at them and stab them. Then he'd cut their heads off.
Why is it Dull Knife? Because it's a dull knife.
Because he just cut it so much, and he never sharpened it or whatever. Maybe it's hard to cut.
Do they know about the stabbings?
don't know if they do. I don't know if he would bring that up to people.
Yeah, probably not.
Hey, you guys, this is a funny story. One time,
you know, it's funny. You guys call me dull knife.
I stabbed a boy in the neck and leg, and then I stabbed him in the back, and I was like, hey, I should leave. Anyway, that's my story.
And I was so sure I killed him, I left.
He could be dead.
Then I went back to the couple.
I came back a little while later, and I was like, hey, I couldn't find my mom.
I mean, I had 90 cents.
So after 2 years, after 2 years working on the ranch, he decides to move on.
Good God.
And he went to settle up with the old Irishman who kept the store there. So the guy would keep their pay for when they were leaving.
Okay.
And then also they would buy stuff at the store.
Sure.
His name was Hunky Dory Brown.
I'm sorry?
Hunky Dory Brown?
His name was Hunky Dory Brown.
It's a classic Irish name.
Is he Irish?
Yep.
Hunky Dory Brown. Hunky Dory.
Hunky Dory, yeah. It's probably a nickname.
So, like, Hunky Dory is like something Midwest teachers say.
It's also a guy.
That's insane.
A lot of things are insane.
Hunky Dory?
Yeah.
How are you? I'm the original. You know, when you feel like everything's pretty good, you just say, me. Just think of old Hunky Dory Brown. HDB.
Yeah.
Hunky Dory.
I got it.
How are you?
I'm leaving.
Well, I'm Hunky Dory.
Okay.
And I'm also doing Hunky Dory.
I don't like you. I don't like anything about you. So.
Things that are lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are. Your name's terrible. You have a terrible name.
It's impossible.
I know.
It's been an absolute curse.
I hope you perish.
I am.
So, you want to see what he looks like?
Who, Hunky Dory Brown?
Young Charlie.
Oh, that's Charlie. Wow. Big pocket kerchief.
So from the store, Charlie had earned a few hundred dollars during the 2 years he had worked there, and Hunky Dory put it on the counter and then told Charlie how much he owed the store.
Uh-oh.
He took it all back and left 75 cents.
What? I mean, so he's just he's full of it.
Well, that was the classic move. It still is a move in some places, but when you work on a farm, that's what they would do. They'd have a store.
You also did eat a lot.
Yeah, you ate food, so that's going to be a problem.
You ate $180 worth of beans.
How much was my pay?
Well, $200. And then, of course, there's the bean eating fee.
Wait, what?
That's $9.
For eating the beans?
For eating the beans. Plus fork rental, plate usage.
No,
just going to add those up. Oh, boy.
What?
I mean, you're coming out pretty good. You get 75 cents.
I worked here for 7 years.
Ah, yeah. Just think about that from a bean standpoint. The way I like to look at it is you ate almost a billion beans.
That's not... Beans don't think. You can't look at something from a bean standpoint.
Oh, buddy, I don't have time to talk about bean POV with you. Here's your 3/4. Take care.
I think I just invented bean POV.
Hey, there's no asides in here.
Sorry.
You're not allowed. Read the goddamn side on the door. No asides. No shirts, no shoes, no service, no asides.
I just invented.
Hey.
Bean.
Get out of here if you're having an aside.
Bean POV.
Get out of here if you're having an aside. Get out.
Google bean POV and MILF.
What? Buddy. Gotta go.
When he was 18, Charlie and a friend started a business skinning cattle.
Finally.
I assume that the cattle were dead.
Well, that's a hope.
After just one winter, he made $114.
Okay, so the most money he's ever made in his entire life, by far.
I'm fucking rich. He bought a saddle. And after learning, he learned where his mom was from a friend. He sent her $25. He's like, shit's going crazy here.
Okay.
And then he bought a ship with a friend and named it the Bloodhound.
Okay,
so
sure.
So we're fucking rolling, aren't we?
Nah.
He would then go down the coast of Texas. He would buy melons.
Sure.
And then he would sail upriver and he would sell them to factory workers to eat on their lunch or whatever.
Right.
Guys come out of factory, like, you want a melon?
Right.
And they'd be like, yo, well, you bet I want a melon.
Hey, look, there's that Bloodhound boat with all that's melon.
And when oyster season would come,
uh-huh,
he'd switch to selling oysters instead of melon. He'd go upriver.
Oh, that's just as refreshing. Thanks, Charlie. Man, a nice quick oyster break in the hot, hot sun. We've been painting and fixing all day. Those melon quenches your thirst, but so does that juice that sticks around the shell of an oyster. Oh, yeah. I'm as hydrated as ever.
A lot of factories, like, I know Ford won't allow oysters anymore.
They won't?
No. Singer stopped allowing I like how I'm no oyster I like breathers. I'm naming companies.
All right, guys, that's an Equity Oyster 5.
Don't exist. And then after that, he got rid of the ship and he went back to cowboying.
Sure.
Moving herds, skinning cattle, branding, that kind of stuff. He drank, got in fights, just lived the life, lost a lot of money betting. In April, Charlie, quote, got shot through the knee with one of those old-time dragoon pistols, which carried a very large ball.
Okay.
So he's immobilized, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to try and go to school again since I can't do anything else.
Okay.
So he's basically an adult, kind of 18 or something.
Sure. He's going to get his GED.
He went there for 2 weeks and got into a fight with the teacher and left.
Great. Okay, good. So now can we officially say school's not for him? Is it time to – can we?
Well, he doesn't have the best luck in school.
Well, yeah, no, people keep falling into his knives.
Now, somehow word got to his mom that he had been shot, and then she came to help him. But before she got there, he left and went to Houston.
Obviously.
Ships passing in the night kind of thing.
Yeah, it was time to leave. He'd been there for a while.
So she stayed and waited for months. And
boy, it just does show you, like, it's so easy to contact people now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're loving it with cell phones.
She's waiting months.
Months.
In Houston.
Months. He'll come back.
Or no, he's on his way to Houston.
Yeah, she's in the panhandle area.
Panhill.
She stays with friends who are named Morris.
We are Morris.
Hi, we're Morris.
We are all Morris.
Hi, I'm Morris.
Drink from the cup of Morris and become one of us. Hi. We are all Morris.
I'm Morris.
Drink, Charlie. We are Morris. All right, he's a weirdo.
So he comes back after a while. I don't know how long. And then he decided, him and his mom decided to build a house together. They're like, let's build a house and we'll put our money together and build a house.
Sure.
So they put it together and they gave it to Mr. Morris, who took a schooner to go up to Indianola to buy wood. So he's heading up river to buy wood.
Sure.
But then a hurricane came.
Okay.
And, it hit.
This is before they named him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it hit while Mr. Morris was going up the river.
Uh-oh.
And the boat and everything on it was gone, including the money.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And Mr. Morris?
He's all right.
Oh, okay.
But they lost the money. I guess that was maybe sitting on the top of the ship under an anchor. Like, you know, if you have a lot of money, you'll just put an anchor, you put money down and then an anchor on top
of
it.
Sure, yeah, a paperweight.
It's an old sailor thing.
Hmm.
So the money's gone. He told his mom, well, I'm going to go up the trail, meaning he's going to go get cowboy work. And he said he'd be back by fall. And then she waited for 4 years before he came back. Cool.
Any way to give a heads up? No.
No, I mean, it was hard to
possible way.
No, I don't think so.
It's not a snooze button.
What? Just leaving?
Delaying the years.
I think you can. It's a different time. Like some nowadays, you'd be out and you'd be like, "Hey, I'm going to go out for a couple hours, maybe out for four." But then it was years. You'd be like, "I'm going to be gone for like
great
6 months,"
defense.
And then you're like, "Oh, it's been 8 years. Hi, I'm a man." So he goes back to being a cowboy. He's working on a ranch. Billy the Kid.
Whoa.
And his gang show up one time. The kid was trying to unload stolen horses.
Okay.
The two guys got to know each other. They even had a shooting contest. Billy Kid was faster. In 1881, Billy the Kid's gang took cattle from the ranch that Charlie was working on. So they came to sell horses, stolen horses, and then they came back later and stole cows.
Okay.
From these guys. Or cattle, whatever. And then he drove him to New Mexico, and then he was having them butchered, like, you know, taken care of for meat, turning him into meat is what.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a vegetarian doesn't mean that I don't understand.
Meat comes from cows.
I understand.
And other animals.
No, I get that.
And to get it, you
got
to cut the cow
super
up
clear.
Into little
very clear
pieces, basically.
Completely understand.
And then.
Never not understood.
And then you can go to a butcher and he yep. will sell you parts
for
of
sure.
that and you will take that home
absolutely.
And cook it.
Yep.
You get that?
Yes.
Okay. Charlie and a few others were sent to get the cows, try to get them before they're butchered.
I understand.
And if not. You can get the what's left of the because they're in pieces.
I understand how it works with a butcher. I get it.
Okay, it just doesn't.
I
seem
get
like,
it.
It doesn't seem.
It's
like
very clear.
It. Okay, so they were told not to try to capture Billy the Kid for the reward money.
Get Billy the cow
until they had the cattle. So they were like, you can get the cattle first, and then you
then
can get
Billy
the Kid.
Right? Okay.
So Charlie found the guy who was butchering the cattle.
Okay.
Right, so this guy's cutting up the cattle.
Yeah, I don't even need to see the gesture. Pieces. Yes, he's a butcher. He's a butcher. He makes meat in pieces.
A steak and
for
a
sure.
rump
yeah,
roast.
There's different cuts, for
make
sure.
Some hamburger.
Different cuts, absolutely. There's a ribeye.
Tongue.
Tongue, like you, sure. Yeah, it's not high on the list.
They use a lot of the parts
yeah,
of the
Yeah, they do,
cow.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
So... and that was in Vegas. That guy was in Vegas.
Of course.
And so Billy was getting supplies, and then he heard that the other guys killed Billy the Kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Charlie had to stay in New Mexico to testify at the trial of the slaughterhouse guy, the butcher,
okay.
the guy who cuts up the cows.
Yep.
He cuts them into
yes.
little pieces. Okay. So while he was there, he got smallpox. Which is a kick in the
Jesus.
Pants. Jesus. You're just there. You're just like, man, I got jury
yeah.
fucking duty.
Yeah.
And then bam, you're covered in
yeah.
sores.
Ah.
So there was no doctor.
So this is part of the delay.
Yeah. It's yeah. part of the delay. So there's no doctor.
Of course not.
So he has to ride. So while he has smallpox, he has to ride 200 miles
oh.
on a horse. It's raining. So he's sleeping at night in the rain. Covered in smallpox. He and then he had to hide his illness from people because if anybody saw him, they would throw him in a pest house, which is where they
nice
put
name.
In the West. That's where they put people at smallpox. They'd throw you in a house. That's been in a couple movies recently. Anyway, his quote, face from nose to chin being a solid scab and terribly swollen. That is sexy.
God, it just does make you like. In this day and age, you are so like just even Neosporin just yeah. for the drive.
Just yeah.
just on the ride there to just be like the rain really dries it out. Ow,
God.
Charlie's asked that nobody make him smile literally.
Anyway, he rented a room, put a handkerchief around his face, stayed.
I'm robbing banks. Good night.
When he was well, he and his mother he went back to his mother. They moved to Kansas.
So he beat smallpox.
Yeah.
Okay.
They go to Kansas together. He's like, let's move to Kansas. I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah. He wants to get to every state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got offered a job there in Kansas. So he took it. His mother's happy to go. She's like, let's get the fuck out of here. Quote, there is only one thing she hated to leave behind.
Charlie.
And that was her woodpile.
Okay.
She had spent 2 years lugging wood and piling it up against her old shanty for old age. So that was like her.
She's a wood hoarder?
It was like her pension.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Crazy, sad, and interesting. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time. When he was 29, Charlie met Mammy Lloyd.
Hello, I'm Mammy.
Quote, I fell head over heels in love with a pretty little 15-year-old black-eyed miss whom I accidentally met. That's pretty normal back then. 15.
What is he?
He's 29. So he's half of her age. So when he was 14, she was zero, which is exciting. So just 3 days after meeting, we were engaged. And at the end of the 3 days, we were made one. So they got married.
Oh, okay. I thought they were melted together.
Sounds like 6 days they got married.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's
right.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
3 days later, he had to go off and drive cattle back somewhere, and he didn't come back for 6 months. So
great. Well, that's
meets a
fun.
Girl. Meet a girl. 9 days later, you're
sure.
You know, back on your job.
Yeah.
After a few days, he came back. 6 months later, after a few days, he was told he had to head out again, but he didn't want to leave his new wife.
Sure.
You know? He's like, we've only been able to do it for 3 days.
Well, he doesn't want to miss her 16th.
Yeah. So he swore off cow punching. He's like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not driving the cows.
Mammy's my cow now.
He ran a tobacco store.
Sure.
And also an ice cream and oyster parlor.
What is going on with this man and oysters? I mean, this is a perversion at this point, right?
Man, would you like some oysters on your mint chip?
Absolutely not.
Here we go. They slide right off the ice cream. I always forget
right.
that. I've been working for so long, and I forget how much the oysters just slide right
sprinkles?
Off.
Sprinkles? Oysters?
Oyster sprinkles?
What do you need?
You want a shell on the... Would you like your ice cream
oyster.
In a shell?
Ugh.
An ad he ran.
From Man that. Likes oysters too much.
An ad he ran from that time. Charlie Siringo wants every cow puncher, nester, and Chinaman in the United States to know that he makes a specialty of fine cigars and tobacco.
Okay.
So he's reaching out.
Covering a lot of demos.
Different people.
Yeah.
Mammy made the newspaper herself. Quote, Miss Charlie Siringo found $15 lying on the sidewalk Sunday evening, and as soon as the owner was discovered, returned it to him. Honest little woman, a man would have kept it and played 7-Up on that steak for a week.
By the way, we're not a paper.
We're just anecdotal typing. Imagine a paper. Honey, did you hear this story about the woman who found $15?
Oh, my God. If that was a man, he would have kept it.
That's what the paper's saying.
I love papers.
But they found the man who dropped it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Whoa, hold on. I didn't mean to distract you. Did you see this one story?
What's that?
There's a man who has a frog.
Oh, my goodness. Like a hopping frog?
Yeah, hopping frog.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
We do live in fun times.
Oh, hold on a minute. What? Hold on. I've seen the craziest thing I ever seen.
What's that?
This is a story about a woman.
Huh?
And she's got flowers.
Oh!
In her hair.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I love the news.
Now, you know what's interesting? Yeah. Think back in the 1600s when they didn't have stories organized like this.
I know.
What did they do for fun?
Well, they must have just stared at the walls.
Oh, man, we're lucky to live in such exciting times.
We are. Read me the frog story again.
All right. Now, a man.
After a couple years, Charlie thought he was one hell of a businessman and too big for a little town. A man like him belonged in Chicago.
Sure.
He's now 31.
Okay.
He wrote his first book, A Texas Cowboy, or 15 Years on the Hurricane Deck of a Spanish Pony.
What?
Yeah, look. That's his book.
Huh.
A Texas Cowboy, 15 Years on the Hurricane Deck of a Spanish Pony.
Cover's a little busy.
By Chas A. Seringo. I don't know why it's Chas. Maybe that's his nickname. So he's now 31. He's got his first book. He's killing it. He goes to Chicago. Workers there not having a great time. They're trying to organize to get an 8-hour workday. The businessmen are like, oh, no, you should
15's
be,
better.
You should more, shouldn't you be more
better.
Slavish? And they also were fighting for equal pay for women, which you can imagine. That's great that still hasn't happened. So strikes were on and others are being discussed, like around Chicago. Owners of factories, railroads, mines, service industries, and other businessmen are not happy with what's happening.
Okay.
The McCormick Reaper Works made a 71% profit in 1884 and still wanted to cut worker pay.
Okay. So, wow.
Yeah.
Imagine. Imagine.
I can't imagine. Imagine a guy having billions of dollars now and not paying people enough money to get off food stamps.
We live in fair times now.
Bezos. So they start hiring scabs. Strikes happen. They hire scabs. There's fights with the scabs, the police, the Pinkertons. There's a rally at Haymarket Square, which was called to protest police brutality, which you're a big fan of.
I think the cops should be able to do whatever they want.
Someone threw a homemade bomb at some point.
I made that.
Exploded. Police were killed. Police shoot people. It's a whole fucking mess.
Okay.
Charlie, his wife, and baby were rooming with a family on nearby Harrison Avenue. Quote, we went to bed expecting a riot before morning, so we were not surprised when we heard the explosion of the bomb and soon after the shooting which followed. After the riot, the city was all excitement, and I commenced to wish that I were a detective so as to help ferret out the thrower of the bomb and his backers.
I'd like to ferret this man out.
I'd like to get in on this.
Did you say ferret?
Ferret.
I'd like to ferret him out.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
No, never mind. I was thinking
you don't want to ferret him out where I come from.
I'm looking more for a sex dungeon.
Oh, no. Sorry, that's what I'm offering.
Oh, hello.
Yes, hello.
That is the kind of ferret.
Yes, meet the latex ferrets.
Oh, So Charlie decided to join the Pinkertons National Detective Agency.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was headquartered in Chicago. He got a letter of introduction from his bank.
Sure. Meet Charlie.
The letter, quote, gentlemen, the bearer, Mr. Charlie A. Seringo, we know to be a person of good character and having been a cowboy, and brought up on the plains, his services and ability are commendable to you.
The bank said this?
Yes, the bank. The bank wrote a letter of recommendation.
Okay, we are the bank.
I would love to go into fucking my bank now and just be like, hey, can you guys, I know you're a credit union, SAG credit union, but listen, I want to get a job at 7-Eleven.
Oh, we'd love to recommend you.
You can do
that? We've always loved how you banked.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you bank really well.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we have no problem setting up a general meeting over there.
Great.
Yeah, we'd love to get you in the mix there. We really would. I mean, we just think that you're fantastic.
You're a great bank.
You're a great guy. Thank and you. We are the bank, and we are great, too, and you are great, and mm-hmm. we love having your money here. Yeah, but awesome. We're rooting for you.
This is awesome.
We're rooting for you.
This is awesome.
We're rooting for
I
you.
I like you guys.
We love you.
Can I work here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, you seem unqualified, but yeah. Again, we just love you so much.
I like money.
We love you so you know much. What I mean? I well, you're money. Not to touch it in any personal okay. capacity, but
okay.
we love it.
Okay.
Okay?
That's a gun.
Oh.
It's in your face.
Uh-huh.
I want money. Okay, this is a bad... I'm doing a bad interview right yeah. now. I just realized I shouldn't do that.
Great. Okay, you're still hired.
Okay.
We're the bank. We love you.
I love money.
And we love that you retracted when you pulled the gun out.
Thank
That's great
you.
For us.
Also, I want a letter of recommendation.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to get a new suit.
Great, for sure.
And I need the tailor to just...
Hey, we don't have any questions. We're just a bank.
Okay. Charlie also used Pat Garrett, the killer of Billy the Kid, as a reference.
Okay.
Saying he, Pat said that Charlie had assisted in getting Billy the Kid, which is a lie. Sure. William Pinkerton then hired him.
Okay.
Now, William Pinkerton, his nickname was Big Eye.
Right.
He is Alan Pinkerton's son, so he's not the guy who came up with the Pinkertons. He is the son of the guy who invented the Pinkerton agency. Now the original guy who invented the Pinkerton agency was cool. Like he actually just solved crimes and he wasn't a bad guy. And then William took over, and William is what is known as a piece of shit.
Oh, I've read about those.
Yeah. So Pinkerton hired men of all ages, colors, nationalities. They didn't hire women. Alan had hired women, but this guy wouldn't hire women.
Okay.
They even have an African American guy in the office that they call Black Jim.
Sure.
Which is, that's how you tell them apart from other people. You just yell at.
Well, if you only have one black guy in the office, I don't think
Jim.
You know. Yeah.
That's yeah, totally fine.
Jim will do.
Yeah. Well, Black Jim. We're going to call you Black Jim.
Jim will do.
But we're going to go, just to tell you apart, we're going to go.
The only way Black that's okay Jim. Is if everybody else has white before.
Okay.
Their
so
name.
That guy over there, his name is Jim, right?
Uh huh.
So we call him Jim.
Uh huh.
So we call you Black Jim.
Oh. Can't we just call him White Jim?
No. Why? He's, right. he's Jim.
Right. Okay.
So the agency is not really what Charlie was expecting. He found his line of work to be filled with men, quote, devoid of moral principle or character.
Okay.
He found the detectives were just writing up fake reports that would please clients. One operative wrote, quote, blood-curdling reports of things the anarchists were doing to do we're going to do to society and the moneyed class. So they were just like making
writing,
up stuff
right.
that they thought people
Fake
would
news.
Be people would be doing and you
they're know, predicting
yeah give them to the businessmen raking in the dough.
Okay.
He was immediately shown
we never sleep.
He was immediately shown how that's the slogan of the Pinkerton agency.
We never sleep.
Never. We're all on meth.
We're exhausted.
God help us,
Pinkerton.
Help
we're
us
seeing
please
things.
Pinkertons, we're hallucinating from a lack of sleep and meth use.
Pinkertons, please help us. Pinkertons, there's bugs under our skin.
He immediately was shown how to fill out expense reports. Operatives were paid $8 per day and all expenses, even laundry.
Whoa.
When he turned in his first set of bills, his superior gave them back, quote, as he said, the client was wealthy, and it was the custom of the agency to allow their operatives to overcharge so as to make extra money. This was how Pinkerton kept men employed without paying a high salary.
Wait, so explain that?
So Pinkerton's not paying very much money.
Sure.
So they would just submit fake expenses to clients,
right,
and
okay.
then that's how they would get their pay.
That's cool.
So Charlie did it. He doubled the expenses. He was okay. like, okay, I guess that's
he
what we
ball.
Do here. He didn't like it. He didn't feel good about it. But he didn't consider exposing the Pinkerton agency. He was sure he wouldn't have been believed. And if he was believed, the agency would set him up to take a fall for a crime.
Right.
So he's like, I can't, you know, deal with these guys will fuck me.
Right. Basically. I have to steal.
Right. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
He considered quitting, but justified staying by convincing himself the agency would do bad shit with or without him, so he may as well stay and do what good he could.
Yeah.
That's what's known as
one of the good bad guys.
Bullshit.
One of the good bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't here,
then he went to Wall Street.
He'd still be doing it.
Yeah.
Charlie was stationed in Denver. That's where he was sent.
Sure.
One of his first cases, the Pinkertons were hired by a wealthy banker who had stolen the bank's money.
The banker stole the bank's money.
Bank steals his own bank's money.
Okay.
And took off to Canada.
Okay.
So the Pinkertons were hired to make sure that no one from the U.S. came and kidnapped him and brought him back to face justice.
Okay.
And sure enough, someone did come and kidnap him and try and take him back to the U.S., but the Pinkertons got there in time and saved him and brought him back to Canada to live out his wonderful life as a criminal on the run.
Okay.
So it's a good, they're good people.
Right. As long as they get paid.
Yeah. Charlie was the only guy, Superintendent Ames, who's his boss, in Denver had not handpicked. So he's picked all of his other detectives except right. for Charlie got sent to him. One of his picks was, quote, a noted safe blower. He told Charlie he had been pardoned.
Hey, if you give me the code, I know how to make you happy.
What?
Give me the code and I'll figure it out. Code. What's the combination of the safe?
I don't have a safe.
Give me the combo.
I don't know what
take
we're doing.
Take your pants off. I'll give you the combo. Right. You give me the combo.
What?
Oh. Take your pants off.
Oh, hi, hi.
Hey.
Hi. I didn't know this was that kind of place.
Yeah, I'm a safe blower.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Ready
my pants
to
are
earn.
Off.
Yeah.
Pants are off. Hi.
Okay.
I'm nervous.
Okay.
I've never been blown by a safe.
All right. No.
That's, what happens?
Wait, what? No. I'm going to suck.
Huh?
No.
Cowboy.
Okay.
If it's okay if I yell cowboy when you do it?
No, this conversation's over.
Okay. Did I blow that?
Yeah.
Because you didn't. Hi. So two Pinkerton detectives in Denver, quote, kept trunks in the detective's room full of stolen clothes, jewelry, and more. One of them went on to become the mayor of Portland,
sure.
Oregon.
Sure. Trunk club.
Normal stuff. It was common to bill up to four clients at a time, even though the clients thought
so lawyery.
That each operative was on their case exclusively. But that
so
wasn't.
Lawyery.
It is lawyery, isn't it? Ugh. It's super lawyery. Oh, gross. I spent 0.5 minutes on your call.
I scanned something. That'll be $100. Yeah.
The Pinkertons said they did not get involved in divorces, but that was not true. So they would like outwardly advertise saying they didn't get involved in divorces.
But we do.
But
we never sleep.
Charlie, and we're in Denver, there was one man who had an affair with a woman, and to keep it out of the papers, the man hired the Pinkertons to keep the woman's husband quiet. So the guy who fucks the wife.
How do they keep the guy's husband quiet?
Well, so how are they going to do that?
Intimidation.
Yeah.
Right.
The Pinkertons' plan was to meet him in an alley and hit him with a pipe.
Okay. So they're like really calculated detectives, and they really, all right, boys, we got to do this one right. So we took a lot of time. We thought about this a lot.
Hey, boss, I found a pipe.
All right, great. So the four of us will go in the alley, and let's just beat him with the pipe.
Ah,
that's great. Great.
That's a great.
Let's call it an early night. Early night. Or an early night.
They actually wanted Charlie to do it. They told Charlie to go hit the guy with the pipe.
Hey, Charlie, you're the best guy for the pipe thing.
But he was like, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, cool. Someone else will do it then.
So they ended up hiring an outside guy, a contractor situation.
How you doing? I'm the guy I'll swing a pipe for money.
But then the husband just beat the shit out of that guy.
Hey, so something went bad down there when I was going to meet the guy.
I'm not good with pipes.
So the guy took a pipe and then beat me with the pipe.
So now Charlie is on the outs with Superintendent Ames. Like he's like, why right. didn't you go hit the guy with the pipe?
Charlie, we're
Pinkertons.
You're not a team player. Your buddies needed you to kill a guy with a pipe and you backed down.
So they told him he was blacklisted from future murder cases.
Okay, sure.
And he was like, that's totally cool.
Right.
I'm fine with that. A little while later, two detectives were beating up a man in the office, trying to get him to confess to a crime that he didn't commit, and we know he didn't commit them because the two detectives had committed the crime.
Interesting dynamic for that. I mean, that not enough times are we seeing stuff like that, where you're trying to get the confession to save your own ass.
Yeah.
It's conflated.
Yeah. So Charlie put a loaded pistol in one of the detectives' faces and told the innocent guy to leave.
Go.
After Superintendent Ames told Charlie that he was going to fire him. But before it happened, Superintendent Ames and all the detectives in the office were fired because William Pinkerton found out that Ames was stealing per diems from the agency on the side.
Well, it's not enough to just rob clients blind.
He's also stealing per diems from the agency.
So petty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like stealing printing paper.
You can't fucking trust a criminal.
I know. It's weird.
Charlie ended up being the only guy in the office who was not fired. So
okay.
James McParland
sure.
Came. Now, you remember James McParland from, do you remember the Molly Maguire's episode? You probably don't.
Nope.
So he is a guy who infiltrated the Molly Maguire's and took them down during their strike.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. So he's a piece of shit.
Right.
He became the new supervisor and he sent Charlie to Fair Play, Colorado to help fix an election.
Fair Play.
He's like, can you... To help fix an election. There's a wealthy man there who wanted to become a senator.
Okay.
So he hired the Pinkertons, and on election day, Charlie and another detective were in charge of a precinct.
Okay.
And so they'd go to saloons, load up a wagon with dudes, take them to vote, then drive them back and give them $2.
Okay.
And some guys just did this all day long. They just repeat
cool
driving
gig.
And making nice cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Pinkertons did not favor Republicans or Democrats, just whoever had money.
Okay, nice. So
yeah. When he was in Denver, Charlie voted 8 times while he was dressed up as a hobo.
That's fun.
For each vote, he got 25 cents from a Democratic money guy, but then he had to give all the money to the Pinkerton agency.
What a weird... Okay.
It's just how you made a living, man.
God, it's a good thing that we've secured our elections and like you don't stuff hey, like that doesn't happen.
Hey, maybe capitalism has some issues.
No. What?
It just seems like there's some problems.
No, nothing.
Okay, it just seems...
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
It's like people take money and then they do stuff.
And it's great.
It can be bad stuff because they need money.
It's great.
Okay.
But those are the people you need to put money back into the economy. Duh. What are you, dumb?
Yeah, but if they're...
What?
You're paying... People will do bad things to get money.
Yeah, sure. But then they put that money back into the economy.
Okay, I feel like we're not talking on the same sort of level.
Okay.
So people do... People need to make money, and sometimes they can't make money the way you want them to, and so they have to do things that are wrong to make money just to get by.
Yeah, but then they're putting that back in the economy. That's what makes the economy good. It's voodoo economics.
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
Thank you for this talk.
Yeah.
In 1887, Charlie infiltrated a gang.
Okay.
3 Pinkertons had previously tried, and they couldn't.
Oh, so he point breaked them.
So Charlie faked that he had a broken leg.
Ah, my leg. I should join up with you guys.
And then they took him in.
Ah, man, my leg's so jacked up.
And nursed him back to health.
Hey, thanks for giving me all those eggs.
Classic bad guys.
Yeah.
He ended up becoming good.
Hey, boss, what do you think we should name him? I actually already have a name. It's Charlie.
I want to name him Boo Boo.
My name's Charlie, not Boo Boo.
Hey, Boo Boo.
Hi.
How you doing, Boo Boo?
Guys, I'm worried about Boo Boo. I think he's sick. I laid with Boo Boo last night. He was real weird.
What are you talking about?
You know, I just had his head in my lap. I was trying to get him to purr.
I'm uncomfortable.
Guys, I think we need to have Boo Boo fixed. I think he's horny.
What?
Yeah. He's in heat.
What are you talking about?
He keeps talking about wanting to go out and talk to girls. I think we got to take off his stuff.
What are you?
I don't want Boo Boo growing up.
He's a fucking man.
He's my baby boo-boo, and I love him.
He's 35.
He's all mine, and he's a baby boy.
All right. Never mind. We should have named him Charlie. Let's call him Charlie again.
Not as catchy.
Okay.
Boo-boo, you want to be named Charlie?
Anyway, Charlie ended up
boo-boo
becoming friends with the guys and then having them arrested. But he felt bad.
Okay.
He felt bad about it.
Sure.
He had him arrested, and he was like, oh, I feel bad. It's hard going undercover.
Yeah. No,
but,
he's in too then deep. He's Donnie Brasco'd.
Yeah, but all their cases were dismissed, so he felt better.
Okay.
Next, he investigated a train robbery.
Okay.
The suspects were named Smith, so he went and got a job working for a farmer named Smith who lived close by.
That's good detective work.
Right?
They got to be related. Nobody has that name.
Hey, are there any of the Smiths around here?
There's 850.
What about that guy with the farm?
He's a Smith.
Let's go.
All right.
Quote, Farmer Smith had a pretty black-eyed daughter, and I made love to her.
Okay.
The girl showed me a letter from her brothers. In the letter, they stated they were going to a certain town in Arizona soon. Oh, in the 1880s, definition of made love was flirted.
The definition of made love was flirted?
Yeah, back then.
So they just were flirting.
He flirted with her.
He
did not put his penis inside of her.
There was no
vagina.
Coitus. Okay.
No.
I don't know why you got to be like...
He put it right in there, in and out.
No, he didn't.
He didn't do that. He didn't do it. He didn't put it in and out.
Stop. David.
Charlie had the brothers arrested.
Okay.
And then the sheriff put Charlie in a cell with the brothers to try to get a confession.
Okay.
Now, the cell was still splattered with blood because the last guy in there had cut his throat.
Sure. Great.
I guess they didn't have sponges or whatever back then.
No.
So they just left the blood
all
splattered about.
Right. Nice.
Quote, one of the Smiths had a bullet wound through the head, which gave out quite an odor that put on the finishing touch of the already foul smell in the air.
Oh, my God.
What?
What? The man has a smelly head hole? He's got like a rotting whale head?
I mean, yeah.
He's got a blowhole?
Basically, he had a smelly head hole, yeah. Okay.
Hey, man, you mind if we cork her?
Oh, damn, did my head cork come out?
Yeah, I apologize. Sorry, you're just leaking fume.
That'll stink up.
Oh, it stinks it right
up. Pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it smells good, though, you know?
Well,
you know
that's
how
it's
that
your
happens?
Own thing. Yeah, it's different like
it
that.
It smells great to me.
No, to the rest of us, it's a nightmare.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
It smells like bacon and a little bit of broccoli.
No, like in bad ways, but it's mm-hmm. worse. Yeah.
So after a few days, he got a confession. And then, so he wins that fucking, he's killing it. He's
right.
killing it.
Right.
So next he heads to Aspen to go undercover as a miner, which didn't go well at first because he was teamed up with another Pinkerton. And that guy was opening a box of blasting caps with his knife and it exploded them.
Okay.
And he blew out both eyes and his hands off.
Hey, has anyone seen my hands?
Or my eyes.
Or my eyes.
The guy begged Charlie to just shoot him in the head right there because he didn't want to live like that.
Sure.
But Charlie didn't. And then the guy was sent back east to live with his mom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. His mom was like, oh, you're a potato.
Oh, this will be easy.
So that's a great time to not have eyes and hands. 1890.
Poor guy. Honestly, just shoot him.
Yeah. I mean, come on. So Charlie infiltrated a gang of ore thieves, found where they kept the ore, and had them arrested.
Oh, I thought you were saying a gang ore thieves.
A
I
gang
like,
of
do we know?
ORE, ore right, thieves. Right. Yeah, yeah. So undercover's becoming his thing. Like, he's
sure.
clearly good at going undercover.
Right.
And then Charlie was sent to Park County because the Lord Mayor of London paid $190,000 in cash for the Mudsill silver mine, and he thought it might have been salted.
Okay.
I'm going to explain that to you because...
Yeah.
So there's tons of con men. Wherever there's mines, there's fucking loads of con men. That's how sure. it works back then. And they would sell...
Yeah, I run this place.
They would sell worthless mines to rich guys.
Okay. Right. Okay. So it's like storage war.
Yes. It's exactly like storage wars.
It's a little...
It's nothing like Star Trek.
A little.
And not even close.
There's some, like, related qualities.
Not even slightly.
For sure.
Not even in the tiniest bit.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen Star Trek.
Holy shit. So
they're just standing there like, boy, you're going to love this mine.
Right. So here's how they'd sell it. A common would take ore from another mine and scatter it around the shitty mine.
Whoa, look at this.
Yeah, look at all this silver.
It's basically puking it.
Holy moly. Some guys would take a shotgun, load it with gold dust, and shoot the walls.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
And then gold would embed itself into the rock. And so guys are catching on to it. So a smart buyer would ask to see what was in the rock. He'd be like, why don't you crack one of them rocks open? So then the con men would go a step further and find a crack and put dynamite into the gold and then blow it up in there and then put gold in the dynamite cap.
Oh,
put the dynamite cap
smart.
Into a crack
right.
and then blow it up.
Whoa,
then,
look at that gold.
Yeah, it's in there.
Jeez.
That would salt the interior. But some smart buyers would bring a geologist. So there was also bichloride of gold, which is liquid. It was used as medicine and passed through the body. So a guy could drink it and then piss in a crack in a mine. And so he'd piss in there and then gold would go in the...
This is to con people. Guys would drink gold and then piss gold?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
What?
That's exactly what I'm talking
you
about.
You can piss gold?
Yeah, we should do it. We should this weekend.
Come on. How long until Kanye West pisses gold? God, all I want to do is pee gold now.
So entire.
Can I do that now?
Yeah,
is
sure.
Is that possible?
Some bichloride. It's probably horrible for you, but you know.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm less sold.
Entire towns would be in on the scam as they'd all make money from some rich guy buying a mine.
Sure.
So Charlie eventually learned all about the mine salting operation in this town, which helped the Lord Mayor recover all his money.
Okay.
So he's fucking good at his job.
Right. Charlie's great.
August 1889, Mammy was diagnosed with pleurisy.
You mean she can't make things sound singular?
She can't, yeah. Cats. I love Susan. that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I ate all the dinners, and I loves all the worlds.
Okay. We should take you to the doctor, because you're sounding
to the doctors.
Pleurisy.
Doctors.
Well, there's one.
I have diseases.
Okay.
I need helps.
Okay.
With everything.
Yes.
All it is.
Okay. Let's go to the doctor.
Doctors.
I'm okay.
Yes. Is.
So actually what it is it's like an inflammation of the of like a layer.
Will you drink it gold?
Around your lungs.
It's a layer of infection.
It's like
around
an inflammation
lungs?
Of the. Okay. Of a, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like sure. There's a layer around your lungs and it gets inflamed.
I'm still thinking about pissing gold.
You can die from it. And you say things twice. So her father wanted her to go back to Missouri where he lived for an operation. So Charlie sent
Mammy,
his wife and daughter off.
Okay.
Charlie was then assigned to learn who had blown up two wealthy mine owners in Nevada.
Blown up the mine owners?
Yeah.
They blew up the people who own the mine?
Okay, so there's two mine owners, and someone rigged bombs under their beds during the night.
Oh, wow. So,
quote, Mr. Pelling and his mattress went up through the roof.
I love that story, Mr. Pelling and his mattress.
And landed right side up with care in the middle of the street.
Oh!
He was still wrapped in the quilts and blankets.
Hey, what did I eat?
I bet the shock put him out of business for a while, but okay. Otherwise he was not hurt.
Okay.
Not so lucky was Mr. Prince. He was badly used up, but soon recovered. He, too, was blown out into the street, but not on the feather bed.
Okay. So one landed on his bed.
One didn't.
Right.
And that's
and anyway, anything's possible.
He lived in a cartoon. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Charlie befriended the suspect, then talked him into heading out into the country to prospect for gold together.
Okay.
So this guy he thinks did it, and he's like, hey, he befriends him, yeah. And he's like, what do you say we go on a couple of bros going on a gold prospecting mission? What do you
sure,
think about that?
I think that's great. You, I can I like drink
you.
Gold.
I like you. Let's go prospecting.
Let's prospecting.
Me and you going to find some gold.
You and me
going
to look for gold.
There's Charlie.
Oh, that's Charlie and that guy?
That's just Charlie. You know what? The other guy might have been in that picture, but
he was in a horse.
So they're out there for 9 months.
Fun.
And the guy finally spills it. He finally says what he did because he thinks this guy's his bro.
Yeah.
So he got arrested. Then word came. He comes back. He finds out that Mammy's operation not worked.
Not worked, huh?
The pleurisy spread to both lungs. She's terminal.
It's in my lungs.
So Mammy and little Viola, their daughter, returned from Missouri. An aunt was sent to care for her as well.
Okay.
And then she died in Charlie's arms.
Oh,
yeah,
sad.
The aunt then
Bobo's lady died.
The aunt then begged to take Viola to take his daughter.
Okay.
And he was like, "Well, I don't know what to do." So he let the aunt take his daughter.
Sure. No, that's love.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, he didn't know what to do with her because he's like, "How do I do this?
How do you do, daughter?"
So he said goodbye to his daughter, and then. Miracle of miracles, he got smallpox again, which is impossible, but he says he did.
Okay, so it's impossible?
So, yeah, you can't get smallpox twice. So either he didn't have it the first time, and he had something else that was really bad, or he got it this time. This time it sounds like he had smallpox.
Okay.
Perhaps it was a similar type of virus. I don't know, but...
Medium pox.
It wasn't good. Quote, I had always heard that a person couldn't take smallpox more than once, but I know better now. He broke out with sores, head to foot, and, quote, swelled up like a Chicago alderman.
Uh-huh.
So I guess local Chicago politicians are bloated.
Okay.
A doctor came to check on him and said he'd be dead in the morning.
Thanks for coming by. Enough medical mumbo jumbo, Doc. What is it?
You're dead. You're going to die. You're dying. You're dead.
Goodbye. Shoot straight, Doc.
You're fucked. Do you know what fucked is?
What are my chances?
No, you're fucked. You're fucked. There's no chance. You're gone.
Any experimental procedures you want to use on me?
No, just get out. You smell. It's awful.
Think I'm going to be one of those ones that prayer does it for?
How are you even talking? It's horrible.
It burns because I have the pox on my tongue.
I don't like you. Quote, I was swelled up like
Can I get another round of ice?
Quote, I was swelled up like a barrel and every inch of my body, even to the soles of my feet and the inside... of my throat was covered with sores.
Oh, my God.
In lying so long on my back, these sores had become calloused, but on undertaking to turn over onto the fresh sores so as to try to get up, I would scream with pain and fall over on my back again. Towards morning, I could hardly get my breath, and I was suffering the torments of hell. Then for the first time, I realized the satisfaction of being buried by loving hands and having flowers strewn on our graves. And when my cry was over, my teeth were set and I made up my mind not to die. I was determined to fight off death with all the energy left in me.
Wow.
And when the doctor came the next morning, he was still alive.
Jesus. The doctor's we already booked the bed.
He'd beaten the fever and he was safe.
Wow.
And then he decided he liked New Mexico. He's like, I actually like this place.
Sure. It takes smallpox to appreciate.
Yeah, it really does. They say that's their slogan.
Yeah.
And so this is where he said he wanted to build a home. And in 1891, Charlie was assigned to go undercover as a miner in Coeur d'Alene, which is in Idaho. It's like the top part of Idaho.
Yeah,
It's beautiful. It's where they keep the white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble with the miners.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of them up there. Trouble with the miners was brewing up there, right? And this is where my family is at that time.
Okay.
And the owners, mine owners, wanted to get a spy inside the union. They're having trouble. Charlie refused because his, quote, sympathy was with the labor organizations as against capital.
Sure.
So he's one of these commie types.
Weirdo.
His boss came back a month later and said, pretty please. And Charlie was like, okay.
I
mean, how many morals can a guy have?
All right.
The Coeur d'Alene area had a few mining camps. The toughest one. So the toughest place is Gem, which is a city, now a ghost town up there. Ooh. That is Gem, Idaho. That's where Charlie went. About 500 miners working three mines. Only the mine superintendent knew who Charlie was. Everyone else did not know.
Okay.
He joined the Gem Miners Union and soon was elected recording secretary of the union. Because who wants that fucking job?
Recording secretary?
Yeah, writing everything down.
Okay. Every day. I thought he made the album for the group.
And then he got himself fired from the mine.
Okay.
On purpose, so he could have more time for spying. And he just told all the other union guys that he had a rich dad who sent him money.
Okay.
Do you see any problem with that plan?
Well, he's trying to infiltrate.
Well, if you're a miner, why would you have a rich dad who would send you money? Why are you there in the fucking first place?
I mean, yeah, in my head it was like he was trying it. Like he was like a rich boy who was like, well, it didn't take. It turns out my hands don't like a callus. Anyway, I figured I'll just sit here and buy the boys beer when they come back.
So he joins this union group. He joins these dudes who are bad union guys, I guess. That's what he says.
Okay.
Anyway, here's some Idaho. There's some miners. That's what they look like. So they...
Yeah, one dude's got a hell of a pipe.
So they were threatening men who wouldn't join the union, right?
Okay.
If it didn't work, threatening them, they would form a mob to scare the shit out of the scab. And sometimes a dozen scabs, their wives and kids, would be driven out all at once of the town.
Okay.
And they would shoot guns over their head as they left.
Nice.
Call making a point.
Right, yeah. Right? We still make that point.
Charlie found the leaders of the Coeur d'Alene unions to be, quote, a vicious, heartless gang of anarchists.
Okay.
This caused Charlie to change his mind about miners' unions.
Okay.
He regularly sent reports to the Pinkerton agency. Charlie also bought a building in town and started a small store with a Miss Kate Shipley, who had a five-year-old boy. Charlie lived in the room upstairs. She lived in the room downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing happening that
hey,
I know
hey,
of.
I'm just saying. Sometimes it's late.
Oh, girl.
Things happen.
He built a fence out
Parts
back.
Move.
Built a tall fence out back and left one board loose just in case there was trouble.
Nice.
And in the spring of 1892, a strike was declared throughout the region. The mines were closed for business. And Charlie learned the unions had picked the worst men in the unions to scare the shit out of the scabs. Scabs rarely then would venture away from the mine. That's where they live. Their quarters are at the mine. They stay at the mine. Okay. But when they did, they were basically beaten the shit out of almost to death. Right?
Okay.
So Charlie recorded everything discussed in the union meetings, and some members began to suspect Charlie might be a Pinkerton.
Uh-oh.
One warned him to leave town or he'd be killed. So Charlie didn't leave. He kept his gun and his Bowie knife close.
Plus, he's got that fence loop.
He's got the fence. Do not forget about the fence.
Defense is a hole in the fence.
Fence plan.
Yeah.
That's the whole time he's thinking. I got this. I got
fence gate.
I got a fence hole.
Gate.
He learned that two scabs at the Gem mine were going to be murdered, and he went to warn them. So they're at a saloon in the town or something. He goes to warn them, but then he gets out. And
Is he from the future, mister?
He sees a big crowd has formed in the street.
Okay.
And old Shoemaker Robinson told them to get out quick.
Okay.
But the crowd saw Charlie and circled around him.
Okay.
And then he pulled out his gun and he slowly backed across the street, pointing his gun at everybody. And then he went into the building that he lives in.
Okay.
But he still wanted to warn the two scab guys. So he goes up to his room and then he climbed down an emergency ladder. He kept out back. And then he went through his loose fence board.
Nice. So right? It does work.
Plans fucking coming together. This is like listening to an episode of Miami Vice or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he crawled through a swamp to the river, and then he crawled on his stomach past two guards on the bridge, and he finally warned the superintendent. And then they sent men down to get the scabs, but they had already had the shit beat out of them. They were still alive.
Oh, that's cool.
But they,
that's a fun story. I bet he's glad he did all that.
Quote, one of them was beaten almost into a jelly.
Oh, my God. There are some times where things are said on this podcast that I just cannot... You can't... jelly.
Yeah. If you had any bread, it's fine. But without bread, it's weird. You know what I mean?
Did you guys hear? Dan got made into a jam.
Oh, toast. Is there toast?
Oh, look at the preserves. Those are pieces of bone.
Oh, that's Bob.
Yeah.
Wow. He is delicious.
Well, Bob sort of took into a more hummus form.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Hi. Oh.
Hey.
That was me. It came from out of my throat. He was beaten almost into a jelly, his jaw and several ribs being broken. In fact, he lost all resemblance to a human being.
Oh, my God.
Except in shape.
Oh, my God. Dave,
His face was one mass of bruised and bloody flesh.
Okay.
That sounds like Trump. Charlie stayed in the store that night. Obviously, I wouldn't leave my place at that point either.
No.
Mrs. Shipley learned the mob was going to start it up again before daylight. There were now over 1,000 union men who had come from all over the district, and they were in town, and they were ready to riot. 300 armed guards and non-union miners were at the mines. Charlie was then positively ID'd by Black Jack Griffith. He was one of the guys who had blown up the two mine owners while they were sleeping on their mattresses.
Okay.
So he IDs. He goes, that guy's a Pinkerton. So then 50 men waited outside the store with rifles.
Uh-oh. It's jelly time.
Yeah. Charlie went to Miss Shipley's room and sawed a hole in the floor.
I mean, he's real old-timey. He is not a cartoon? We established that he isn't animated?
Yeah, he's definitely not.
Okay.
He's definitely,
I'll make sure.
He's definitely real. He's a real person.
Okay.
Although there is a one coming up later where he has a hole and he takes it off a tree and he throws it on the ground and he goes...
Wait a minute.
But that's an old escape.
He does sound Buster Keaton-y.
It's an old escape plan.
Yeah, left a hole in the fence.
So he said goodbye to Miss Shipley and then he dropped down out of the...
Out of the room.
Out of the room.
And she pulled
the trunk over the hole.
I've done that.
And then... What?
Huh?
Then the miners blew up the Frisco Mill. That's okay. It right there.
Sure.
And they headed down to burn. Their plan was to burn Charlie at the stake to make an example of Pinkertons.
Right. Great.
He was still hiding under the store.
Okay.
He heard the mob rush in.
Oh, my God.
And then he crawled out and under the wooden sidewalks.
He's just Inglorious Bastards, like he's living that existence.
So he just crawls under the wooden sidewalks all the way to the edge of the town.
What is that? What? Nobody else is thinking that?
And then he got in like a, I don't know what it's called, like a water flute or chute or whatever it is where the water
slide?
No, that's not a water slide.
Please?
It's like a water slide. It's
it
very
was
much
one?
Like a water slide.
If is
you've
it
ever
one?
Seen the Apple Dumpling
First Gang. Water slide?
Have you seen the Apple Dumpling Gang?
I'm going to go.
And so he's in that and he goes down that and guys shoot at him.
Did they get a picture of his face when he was at the end that he could buy at the shop?
And then he gets out and he runs across 200 yards of open land to the gem mine.
Okay.
Tells those guys what's going on.
Okay.
They were, it turns out that he had found out that the miners were going to take a train car and roll it from up above the mine down to the mine to try to blow it up.
Wow.
And then he somehow made a thing that would direct it in another way. So he spoiled that plan.
Like Superman. He flew around the earth till he reversed
and
time.
He flew back. Yeah. And then they really wanted to kill him. So him and another guy that they also wanted to kill ran up the hill and ran away and went to Spokane, Washington.
Okay.
So it's a good story.
Yeah, no, it's normal. Yeah.
It's what it was like back then.
Yeah.
So then the government came in. All Coeur d'Alene was put under martial law. Charlie was appointed a U.S. deputy marshal, and he supervised soldiers on a roundup of Union men. They put 300 Union men in a temporary wooden prison. Charlie became a star witness against all the leaders. The trial lasted 4 weeks. 18 were convicted. But he regretted working against some because he was like, I still like Union guys.
Okay.
But he never forgave the unions for what happened in Idaho. Charlie also did not believe in their cause. Now, here's the deal. The miners were demanding shorter hours and that everyone receive $3.50 a day.
Okay.
Everyone. Quote, the same wages as skilled miners. So he was basically like, that's fucked up that they want guys who aren't skilled miners to also make the same amount of money as them.
Right. He wants a scale.
He wants a scale. And the miners are like, everyone should get paid for their fucking time. Time is money. Why can't everybody have the same value for their time? And Charlie was like, no, you have a skill. You should get paid more.
Okay.
You fucking animals. Charlie's world is worse. So he ended up afterwards going to Denver. He had a bunch of money from the job had been over a year. So
right.
He had a bunch of money saved up. And then Miss Sharpling wrote and said that they burned down the store.
Oh, that's cool.
So he was out $3,000.
Fun. Yeah. It's all falling apart.
At 38, he met a new lady in 1893, Lily Thomas. She's 21.
Okay.
So he's moving up.
Yeah. Right? No, he's at a legal age. That's great.
They married quickly, had a son 3 years later. And
what's
then,
quickly for him? In an hour?
Maybe 5 days.
Okay.
And then the marriage was over as soon as the kid was born.
Sure.
Charlie was then offered a supervisor position by the Pinkerton agency, but he turned it down. Quote, I knew my conscience would not allow me to act as a superintendent of the agency in a big city where so much dirty would be expected of me. Yet he works for them and does fucking dirty. He's all.
Can we stop saying dirty like that?
He's all fucking dirty.
Stop it.
Bro.
No.
There's so much dirt happening.
No.
Here's a picture of a blown up mine if you want to see that.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just what I'd imagined.
Right. So.
That's a lot of retirement wood.
So the Colorado.
That's pension pine.
Colorado mine strikes happened, which we've talked about in another episode of The Dollop.
Yeah. In Colorado.
Yep. Unlike the Coeur d'Alene situation, Charlie didn't feel good about infiltrating striking coal miners to inform on them. Quote, I considered their cause a just one, as men who take their lives into their own hands every time they enter a coal mine should be paid double the money which they receive. Therefore, I hated to report their threats against the greedy corporation which treated them as slaves. But he did.
Nice. He really... I mean, is he just fooling himself?
Yeah, I think he's just fucking...
He just says
he's
that... Just,
he's literally... He's the guy throughout history who, like, takes the orders at My Lai and kills the Vietnamese.
Right.
And he goes, I feel bad.
Oh, terrible. My heart goes out to you. Now let me get your hearts out of you.
In 1904, Charlie bought a Russian wolfhound puppy. He named it Jimmy Longlegs.
Hi, you're a dog, and I'm going to call you Jimmy Longlegs.
That's not it, but that's what they look like. That's a good-looking dog.
Oh, it's, yeah, real Jimmy long legs.
Well, because
more like a Lassie hot dog foot.
So it has long legs. You can see how it got the name.
Yeah.
But after the dog...
More like Harry Humpless Camel.
After the dog ate a whole duck in front of him, he changed his name to Eat 'Em Up Jake.
Oh, my God. Wait. So it went from Long Legs Jimmy, and then the dog ate a whole duck, and he became Eat 'Em Up Jake.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that Long Legs Jimmy. No, I changed his name because he ate a whole duck. Eat 'Em Up Jake.
Charlie's daughter, Viola, graduated from college and spent 2 weeks at Charlie's ranch, getting to know each other. Hi,
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
You abandoned me.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. This is Eat 'Em Up Jake.
Charlie's mom was living in Kansas. At the 1904 Old Settlers Meeting in Caldwell, Kansas, she got the prize for the, quote, lady having been a widow greatest number of years.
Boy, that's it's just nice to be nominated,
It went to Bridget Seringo. Her 49 years of widowhood earned her $5.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
What an honor.
I mean, this story has a happy ending.
Yeah.
That's good. In 1906, Charlie went back to Coeur d'Alene. Some of the Union leaders he had betrayed were on trial for the murder of the ex-governor of Ohio. The Pinkertons were involved in catching the men and guarding duties during the trial. All the men were acquitted, though. Charlie thought the agency didn't do as much as they could have to win the case. Quote, the Pinkertons just grafted the state of Ohio out of thousands of dollars by putting extra operatives to work on the case where there was none, no need. The fucking Pinkertons are the first awful American corporation, it sounds like.
That's great.
Just grafting. Nice to be first, yeah. Just fucking grafting and taking money everywhere. After the trial, Charlie resigned from the Pinkerton agency and went to live at his ranch in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He was done. But he had what he called a dark blot on his conscience from working against the coal miners in Colorado.
Okay.
Not against the other guys, but the coal miners.
Sure, yeah.
Quote, these men and their families are treated as slaves by the greedy corporations who own the mines. I know it to be a fact that the Colorado Fuel and Iron Company and the Victor Fuel Company of Colorado virtually own the sheriffs and other court officials in the southern part of the state.
Hmm.
So I guess I, like this kind of guy, that's the Colorado Fuel and Iron Company. But this
guy. Kind
of, yeah. So he now he feels bad because he's looking at his life and he's like, oh, I fucked over tons of working men.
Right.
So I don't like
yeah.
fuck
well, him. Yeah, that's fine. You're allowed to. That's the easy way to do it.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, the hard
deathbed
way.
Deathbed conscience.
The hard way is to go find another job and not do that.
Yeah.
Of Colorado Fuel and Iron, quote, I became personally acquainted with the president of the company, Mr. Keebler, and he told me that...
I actually have a group of elves that... Well, I don't want to... I'm starting a couple businesses, but this is the one I'm focused on now. But I'm opening another factory in a tree, let's say.
Wait, you're opening a factory in a tree?
It doesn't sound like the space would accommodate, but believe me, it's plenty.
I'm not sure I understand anything.
I probably have said too much, but I'm excited.
Elves?
Do you like biscuits with fudge?
Mr. Keebler told me that the secret of his company
is elves.
In downing the unions was the mixing of nationalities in the coal camps.
Hello.
That the unions cannot hold peoples from different countries together into a solid mass.
Right. Yeah, it is. So that is true.
You know that thing when people say they're evil, they're doing this thing on purpose. It's a master plan. That's actually what they
were doing.
You're
the people who say it.
Charlie married again in 1907 and divorced again in 1909.
Okay.
I just went through that one fast.
Sure. Yeah.
His mom came to live with him, but then she died in 1911. In 1913, at 58 years old, Charlie reunited with Helen Partain. She was the widow of a rancher he had worked for 40 years before.
Okay.
They were married in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and the wedding got a front page headline. Quote, old couple is married here.
Great. Well, I want to read more. That's for sure. A read more. Old couple married here.
So
eat him up, Jake. Devours again.
He's older, Charlie.
Yeah, hello. Silver fox with a silver pistol.
The article said, quote, the groom led a life of adventure, and the bride is pretty for one of 51 years of age.
Now, it's crazy when people say that there's a double standard, because I think that's pretty clear that everybody's held to the, you know, everybody, you know, you're just judging people in the same
thing. He's had a great life, and my God, her face isn't horrible.
Well, this man's had quite an adventurous life, and you gotta see the legs on the dame.
They moved to Santa Fe. The marriage lasted less than a year.
Nice.
To clear his
conscience. Is this the man who invented divorce?
Yeah. To clear his conscience, Charlie started writing books again.
Okay.
He wrote.
How to Marry Eight Women Quick.
He wrote Pinkerton's Detective Cowboy, which. There we go. It's about his time with the agency. The Pinkertons sued him to stop the publication. And tied him up in court for 2 years. He was eventually able to publish it, but he had to change the name, and the title became, you can see the title down there, The Cowboy Detective, a true story of 22 years with a world-famous detective agency, giving the inside facts of the bloody Coeur d'Alene labor riots and the many ups and downs of the author throughout the United States, Alaska, British Columbia, and Old Mexico. Also exciting scenes among the moonshiners of Kentucky and Virginia. Anyway, that's the title. That's the working title. No, that's the title. That's what I'm going with.
It's catchy.
Is it? Is it?
Is too it little?
Too short?
Yeah, it is. I'm just going to be honest. Yeah, it is.
It's not
too,
enough, right?
It's too short.
Okay.
It's too short.
What about also married a bunch?
I think you want it even more.
Dog owner.
How about this?
The dog owner. Dog who eat. Owner
eat him up,
dog,
Jake.
Eat him up. Dog.
Formerly long leg Jerry. Mm. Eat him up, Jake.
Duck eater.
Duck eater.
Yeah.
Dog. Had smallpox in my throat one time, hard to swallow. Doc said I'd be dead.
Double smallpox guy.
My wife died of making things plural.
Right. Anyway, that's the title.
All right, great. I think it's good.
Yeah. The legal fight almost bankrupted him over the book, but he was not deterred. He wrote another book, Two Evil Isms, Pinkertonism and Anarchism. By a cowboy detective who knows.
Yeah, the cowboy detective.
I guess I didn't get that one.
Hey, it's all right.
There's more. Sorry. Two Evil Isms, Pinkertonism and Anarchism by a cowboy detective who knows as he spent 22 years of the inner circle of Pinkerton's National Detective Agency.
What's up with the titles? Honestly, just unable to.
You want an eye catcher.
Yeah.
You want to know what's inside.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to get them once they read the cover, they'll have read the first chapter.
Like these are some of these are shorter than a trailer to a movie, but
for sure.
But it's the same sort of idea.
Right. Okay. Great.
Pinkerton sued him about this book, the second book, and won.
Okay.
So Charlie was forced to turn over all copies, but then he just printed it himself.
Sure.
Pinkerton tried to steal or buy up all the copies of the book or destroy them. The agency tried to have Charlie prosecuted for libel, but the New Mexico governor denied his extradition.
Okay.
From 1916 to 1918, Charlie worked as a ranger for New Mexico, helping catch cattle rustlers. He wrote and published more books, some autobiographical, one about Billy the Kid. He became known as an author, right?
Sure.
He's like the first Western author.
Nice.
Pinkerton Agency kept intimidating publishers to halt his publications, so he didn't make very much money. At some point, he wrote a fan letter to actor William Hart, who was a big fan. He was a big silent movie guy. He was like the Western star of silent movies.
Okay.
Hart responded as he'd heard of Charlie through his writings, and the two men became friends. And in 1922, Charlie came down with chronic bronchitis. Health and financial problems forced him to leave Santa Fe.
Okay.
He moved to San Diego to live with his daughter and now 14-year-old granddaughter, and they nursed him back to health, and then he moved to Los Angeles, where William Hart
became an actor.
Yep.
No.
Got work as a consultant on at least one Western movie and gave him bit parts in movies to earn some Eden money.
Wow.
He hung out in a tavern called The Watering Hole, which was a favorite hangout for actors. Charlie died at his son Leroy's house in Altadena, California, on October 18th, 1928, which is right next to where I live.
So are you him?
I'm him. That's the end of the story.
I knew it.
Charlie Seringo.
I knew it.
And I've been infiltrating the dollop for over 4 years.
You're Pinkerton.
Yeah, and I've been sending reports to Pinkerton.
About me?
And you're a fucking socialist.
What?
Commie.
No.
Piece of shit.
Nuh-uh.
And I love money. I love money.
This actually does sound like you. That's how you sound.
Oh, look, there's another picture of him with the dog.
Oh, eat him up, Jake.
Eat him up, Jake.
Eat him up, Jake.
Eat him up, Jake.
Wow. All right. Well, we have ourselves a...
That was just a...
The first Donnie Brasco.
Yeah.
Is that the title?
I mean...
I learned a lot about Storage Wars.
But these fucking people who go through, who are in history, who do evil deeds, and then feel bad about it and write a book, and go fuck themselves. Don't do the fucking evil deed.
We don't even get books anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
We're past the apology part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, yeah.
I don't give a shit that you feel bad that you did that.
No, you need to have a moral compass in the moment.
You know what? Yeah. And the Pinkertons were animals.
I love you.
I love you.
What are you doing to your eyes?
I'm making a baby, I think.
Oh, my God.
Is this how you do it?
No.
You rub your eyes?
No.
Oh.
So many.
I'm not sure about biology.
Okay, this has gone on long enough.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Got anything else to say? Any wrap-ups?
Check out dollopodcast.
Oh, are we?
.com. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you.
I miss you already.
And this next time soon.